Hello, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. Welcome to the inaugural episode of our How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think podcast series, where we get inside the heads of people trying to change the current healthcare system. Our first guest is Lena Chahorsky. Lena is the co-founder and vice president of payer innovation at Alva 10. Alva 10 is a Cambridge, Massachusetts-based company that connects payers and diagnostic testing companies to facilitate the practice of precision medicine. Lena, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, David. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Now, let me start by asking you about your aha healthcare moment. When did you realize that the current healthcare system had to change? Did something happen to you or a family member or a friend? Did you read something? And how did that motivate you to do something about it?
So what motivated me was ultimately a series of experiences I had at my previous companies. And all of these experiences, they were all sort of involved in the development and the sales of diagnostic tests. That was my job at my previous companies. And so I saw firsthand, and I really participated in the work of, you know, helping to develop these tests, helping to figure out what's going to make them valuable, getting them onto the market, and then going to insurance companies and trying to get these insurance companies to cover these tests. And sometimes the tests were more valuable, sometimes the tests were less valuable, but every single time I felt like I kept trying to sell these insurance companies diagnostic tests that they were not interested in buying. Mm-hmm. And so I started kind of feeling a little bit like a used car salesman, when in fact, what I was selling was really, really valuable. Right. And I thought, you know, there might be something wrong with this system that isn't valuing these diagnostic tests. And so I became sort of intellectually interested in what would it look like if I was selling diagnostics to insurance companies that they couldn't wait to buy. And that thought is sort of what started me on this journey of figuring out how to reframe the relationship between the insurance industry and the diagnostic industry, such that the diagnostics that we are putting out onto the market are things that insurers, when I say insurers, I mean employers, PBMs, patients, anybody paying for healthcare, really values and wants to pay for.
Got it. Yeah. So you wanted to go deeper than that kind of superficial transaction of, you know, kicking the tires and how much it costs, right?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to really provide value and have that be recognized by the healthcare purchaser.
Got it. Now, given your deep knowledge of healthcare and precision medicine and your experience in the field and what you do now, you have to be a doctor's worst nightmare, right? When you go in for your annual physical?
I like to not think of myself as a nightmare. I feel like I've never really gotten anywhere in life by being anybody's nightmare, but I totally understand the question. I like to think of myself as a really empowered patient. And honestly, I think that the thing that I do and that I feel really comfortable doing in a doctor's office is asking the physician why they're making the treatment decision they're making for me, and how they know that's going to work. That question, I feel totally empowered asking. And it always opens up this conversation of, well, here are the options. And here's what I picked for you. And well, we don't really know if it's going to work. Well, maybe there's something we can do to figure out if it's going to work. Okay, let's stop the conversation right there. What is that magical thing that we're going to do to figure out if my treatment's going to work, right? I feel totally empowered to have that conversation. I feel like it always starts with that central question. I will also say that I've learned a lot just as being a patient in the healthcare system. I sort of became a patient in the healthcare system early on with my son. His physicians wanted to treat him one way because they sequenced a gene and they saw something that caused them concern. And they wanted to treat him in accordance with that information, right? In accordance mm-hmm. with the fact that they felt like they saw a problem in his gene.
Right.
And I was really interested in figuring out what his phenotype was going to be. In other words, what was he going to look like, right? As he grew up, was that a mm-hmm. condition, a disease that we would see? And the physician's first answer was like, let's wait and see and let's manage him in the meantime as if he has this condition. But that didn't really sit right with me. And so ultimately, we were able to actually do a test in a single lab in Colorado that gave us incredible information about his phenotype, which is that thankfully he is fine.
And so
he's thriving,
great.
He's growing. And there was a year of my life, of our lives as a family, where that information was so precious. I know that there were multiple times that we would have worried, we would have done things differently if we had not had that information and if we were treating him in accordance with his genotype instead of his phenotype, which is how he presents and how he really is. And so that experience, I think, taught me a lot about being a patient. And it also taught me a lot about being a healthcare operator. So I think that's a situation in which I maybe became a little bit more of a doctor's nightmare early on, but I got the answers I felt like our family really needed. That was an incredible experience.
Right. And how many families don't have that insider experience to do that and just follow along wherever that road takes them, good or bad. So
absolutely.
Kudos to you. Now, they're probably afraid to cancel an appointment with you, right? When you schedule something, right? They're not going to call and say, well, can you come in next week?
I've definitely been known to track a couple of physicians down. I will just say, actually, that this exact same test that we were able to get, I later went on a variety of Facebook forums of, you know, families that were dealing with similar things. And I read countless stories of patients who were told by their physicians that they would have to wait multiple years to get this test when I pushed and had this test in the first year of life. And so I think there are always a variety of reasons. There are always a variety of cases. I do not want to generalize, but I saw a trend of a piece of information that I had access to early on that was incredibly valuable, and watching other families not have this information, that also had an incredible effect on me.
No, that's great that you also took it beyond your family to help others. Now, let's not talk about healthcare for this next question.
Okay.
You're Russian, you were born in St. Petersburg, and I heard you had some interesting thoughts on how we teach math in the U.S. compared with the rest of the world. Now, I'm an English major, so paraphrasing Shakespeare here, it's all Greek to me. So tell me about math education.
Sure. So yes, I was born in Russia. I am American now for sure. And there's plenty to admire about the American school system as well. But in terms of math in particular, I think, first of all, it's a difference in perception. Honestly, in the Soviet system, math was much more than just a subject. It was seen as a language, and it was seen as a language of logic. And learning this logic language kind of rewires your mind. It organizes your mind. And of course, the way that you intake and analyze information after that is entirely different. So I think first it's this perception of, is math a subject or is math a language? Is it almost like a way of life in a way? So I went through the American school system. I've lived here most of my life. And the American school system largely focuses on rote memorization versus derivation, which is what the Russian, the Soviet system of math focuses on. And so what that means is, you know, remember a triangle has 180 degrees, remember it, right? Mm-hmm. Versus take out a pencil and a piece of paper and prove to me that a triangle has 180 degrees. It's really the same thing as you teach a man to fish, right? Or you hand a man a fish, right?
Right.
Same thing. But if you map that concept onto the entire world of mathematics, you see that simply remembering facts versus proving these facts is the difference between, you know, maybe forgetting something in a couple of years or not really valuing that information versus you remember these logical leaps that you made, you're connecting things. Sometimes you're connecting things that are actually taught as disparate subjects. You know, calculus and physics are taught entirely separately in the U.S. education system, but they actually are intimately connected. And, you know, for example, we're taught to me as such at home. So I think it's a difference. It's interesting, though, actually, because I guess while we're on the subject of education, American education actually really values creativity and problem solving. So you would actually think that we would teach math differently here because the rest of our education system really values the very characteristics that the Soviet math system teaches. But it's a little bit different here. I think I owe my life actually to sort of two major factors. I have a huge love for math and for logic, and that was really given to me at home because all of my math was supervised by my father. which is not anything a child dreams of, myself included, but that was the case. But I also owe a tremendous amount to my American education and my phenomenal teachers. And I feel like that system made me curious and confident and able to take risks. So it would be great to see a marriage of the two at some point. But yes, I think there is a huge difference. And I personally have very much felt that difference in my life.
Got it. So here it's this plus this, and there it's if this, then that, right? Is that kind of the...
Yeah, it forces you to prove things, to essentially say, here's what you know, now prove this next thing to me based on what you know, right? Got so it. You're like, okay, well, I know A and I know B, and so I'm going to try to prove C based on what I know about A and B. And that's very different than A is a fact, B is a fact, C is a fact, move on. Well, actually, no, C is not a fact. C is a conclusion mm-hmm. that you have made based on knowing A and B. There's a huge difference. And you can imagine how years of studying that difference really organizes your mind differently.
Right. Well, that's interesting. And I will pass that along to my kids. I've got two stats majors and one physics major. So
oh, wow.
It'll give us something to talk about at Thanksgiving.
Definitely.
I'll tell them I read a book. I won't tell them I stole it from you.
I'll send you one.
That's all right. Well, thanks, Lena. And thanks again for being on our show. It's been great to have you and talk to you again.
Thank you so much, David. I really enjoy what you're doing and appreciate the project. I think it's so fun to dive into how people think and what makes them who they are. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks again. If you'd like to learn more about how Lena thinks, please read our Q&A with her on foresighthealth.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.